And for me, you know, I think I've won everywhere because since, you know, I've picked up basketball, you know, I've been living in my truth and following my passion. You know, to me, I've never lost. You know, I always win because you either win or you learn. You know, there's obviously certain elements and characteristics that go into what winning is. But I think for me, as long as I'm living my passion and living my truth and living with joy, then I'm winning every single day.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 6 of Coming Up Podcast. I'm Matt Schumacher. Our guest this week is WNBA superstar and NBA assistant coach, Christy Tolliver. Yeah, you heard that right. Christy is the first and only active WNBA player to simultaneously coach in the NBA. She has played in 3 out of the last 4 WNBA finals, winning 2 of those, in addition to 3 WNBA All-Star accolades, and is now in her second year as an assistant coach for the Washington Wizards. Christy spent 7 years of her career playing for the LA Sparks, won her first WNBA title in 2016, has spent the last 3 years with the Washington Mystics, helping that organization win its first WNBA title last year, and now she's headed back out west to play with the Sparks again and try to win some more titles. She is an absolute trailblazer and a remarkable person, and our conversation was both fun and insightful. And I gotta say, she had so many good quotes throughout the course of the show. It was nearly impossible to pick one for the opening soundbite. In fact, I probably spent 45 minutes deliberating what to use because she just had so many cool things to say. Including a discussion about winning and about failure, and that Christy doesn't really believe in failure, but in learning. We also talked about what it was like for Christy to step out of her comfort zone, going from LA to DC in order to take on the leadership role that she so craved as a player. And then perhaps my favorite part of our entire conversation is the discussion about the dichotomy of being both a superstar in the WNBA and a second-year coach on the rise in the NBA, and what this experience has been like for Christy so far. So, without further ado, here we go. It's Coming Up with Christy Tolliver. All right, really excited to welcome current WNBA superstar and rising NBA coach Christy Tolliver to the show. Christy, thanks a lot for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm sure you are staying busy. You're the only active WNBA player who's also coaching in the NBA. And technically, the NBA season isn't over yet. And technically, you should have started the WNBA season already. So what do your days look like right now, trying to balance prepping to play and also preparing to make a playoff push potentially with the Wizards as a coach?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely staying busy. You know, we're just in a pretty strange time right now where seasons are crossed. But most importantly, you know, we're just being mindful of staying safe and doing all we can to help one another stay safe. You know, safe and health and fitness, those are the most important things in this moment. So definitely want to stay mindful of that. But I've been busy. You know, I've obviously been working with the Wizards because, you know, the NBA season isn't over, and trying to get myself ready for, you know, potentially a WNBA season. You know, we're still living in a weird time where we don't even know if we're going to play or not. So just doing double duty right now and just enjoying and making the most out of the situation.
Yeah, I'm guessing you have a place to shoot around at least, right?
No, it's actually crazy. I haven't shot a basketball since March 11th. Yeah, it's probably the longest I've ever, you know, not shot a ball. So it's pretty wild, but just trying to stay sharp in other ways. You know, can always work on ball handling. So that's what I've been doing. And obviously, you know, strength training, you know, in my house. And yeah, it's strange, but it's just fun to get creative. I think if anything, this is, you know, a way that we're all kind of expanding our minds and thinking differently. And, you know, certainly we'll apply some things once we're back to our new norm after all this.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a good way to look at it. It's really the only way to look at it. I can't believe you haven't been able to shoot a basketball that entire time. But I guess you're going to have mad handles when the season comes back. All right, let's get into a little bit about Christy Tolliver. At every level, you've won. You've earned multiple WNBA All-Star accolades. You've won a couple of WNBA championships. You were the National Point Guard of the Year in college. You won a national championship in college. You won an ACC championship in college. The list goes on. When you look at winning, what goes into it for you? If you had to boil it down to traits or habits, what have you learned about how to be a winner?
It really stems from, you know, how you define winning. You know, what is winning? Does it boil down to accolades and trophies? I think it's all about your outlook. And for me, you know, I think I've won everywhere because since, you know, I've picked up a basketball, you know, I've been living in my truth and following my passion. You know, to me, I've never lost. You know, I always win because you either win or you learn. And that's just kind of a mantra that I have for myself and winning and what that looks like. Obviously, there's certain requirements that go along with that, you know, focus, discipline, and consistency, and sacrifice, joy. You know, there's obviously certain elements and characteristics that go into what winning is, but I think, you know, each person has to define what that is for themselves. And for me, it's so long as I'm living my passion and living my truth and living with joy, then I'm winning every single day.
How did you develop that mantra? Like, is that something that just innately you've sort of developed over time on your own, or have you had, you know, mentors throughout the course of your career who have sort of helped steer you towards that mindset?
There's definitely, you know, been a handful of people that have influenced me in my outlook. One of the main one has been my mom. You know, she was an elementary physical ed teacher for many years, and she had a figure. It was almost like a scarecrow, but the head was a basketball, and that's where she would have her kids all line up before they, you know, moved on to the next class. And the little character's name was Winner. And she always, you know, told all of her students, you know, there's a winner in you. And so, like, just, you know, from a very early age, you know, the support of my mom and her outlook and kind of how she molded my mind, you know, I always felt like a winner, no matter what. And I know obviously that's something that she passed on to her, you know, her little elementary kids. She's been a huge figure in my life, and especially, you know, just the way that I see things and, you know, my spiritual path. You know, she's just kind of been the foundation and the constant and all those things and that guiding light. So for that, I'm very thankful. And it really comes, as we're talking about winning and what that means and what that looks like, you know, that's why I have that outlook, because I think everyone's a winner. I think it's just a matter of how you define it for yourself.
So I'm starting to see a connection here. Mom's a teacher, an encourager, somebody who's uplifting, and now daughter Christy Tolliver is dipping her toes into the coaching world. How did you first get interested in coaching? Is that something you've always been interested in the back of your mind since you started playing in the WNBA?
No. you know, I love the game of basketball, and I just love to be engulfed by it. And, you know, I love everything about the game. And, you know, it's really not until as I've gotten a little bit older, and especially when we're, you know, a lot of young women that are in the W, they play overseas. And when you're overseas, you have a lot of time on your hands. And so the thought is always, you know, people always ask, well, what are you going to do next? What's after this? What's, you know, and it's tough because I'm also a person that I think it's very valuable to remain in the present. But obviously, you know, being mindful of, you know, my playing days aren't going to last forever. You know, there's no 80-year-old point guard out there that, you know, is thriving. So obviously it is important to jump ahead and kind of think forward. And it really was overseas that I, you know, my wheels were kind of turning of what the next chapter would be. It wasn't necessarily coaching. I knew I wanted to stay involved in the game of basketball. I didn't know in what direction that would be. and maybe I still wouldn't, except I was offered an opportunity. And with that opportunity, I said, sure, let's do it. And then things kind of just unraveled from there.
Before we jump into more about that opportunity, you just said something that kind of triggered a thought in my mind. You said, you can't play the game forever and you don't see, 80-year-old point guards out there, but you are in year 11 playing in the WNBA. Plus you played overseas. So you've been playing year round basketball for a long time. That's a lot of wear and tear on the body. And yet you are a back-to-back WNBA All-Star. It's like you're playing some of your best basketball late in your career. Why is that?
I think a couple factors play in. You know, when you're in your 11th year, you're obviously experienced. And so, I've never been the most athletic person in the world. I've never been the fastest or the strongest, but I've been crafty. And as I've learned throughout my entire playing career from AAU until now, basketball IQ is extremely important, and that's what adds on years to players. You're going to know, you're not going to see an 11-year player that's a freak athlete. You're going to see an 11-year player that knows how to play the game. And so that's the main thing for me. I think I've done a pretty good job just taking care of my body throughout all these years. Maybe in my younger year, I thought it was silly to stretch and ice. Now I rely on that immensely, the recovery process. So just kind of taking those type of things, a whole lot more serious, just the type of discipline that you need to have in order to have a long career. I've taken pride in making those steps to be the best that I can be for my teammates. A lot of people think, I'm 33 years old, that, the decline is coming. For me, I just feel stronger and healthier and smarter, the more and more I'm playing. And I think right now, I believe that I'm still in my prime years. And so I'm really excited about that, especially these past 2 years of getting better individually. That's kind of been the blessing in working in the NBA as well. I get to see how these guys work and what they're doing. And I'm not overseas just, adding miles to my body, but I get to work smarter. And so that's a huge, huge factor for me.
So are you going to be the Tom Brady of the WNBA and play into your 40s?
I mean, that's what Sue's doing right now, I think. How old is she? 38,
yeah,
39?
There you go.
Yeah, she's more Brady. I'm still in a – I'm a little, younger than that.
Right,
but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what my journey will be as far as playing and the amount of years that I have left. I know for sure – I want to continue to be playing at a high level. And when I can't play at a high level and compete the way I want to compete, then I know that's for sure when I would shut it down.
So a moment ago, you had started talking about the opportunity that was offered to you by the Wizards in the offseason. And you chose, instead of going to play overseas, to join the Wizards coaching staff. How did that opportunity come about? And for folks who don't know, what is your role on the Wizards coaching staff?
My role is really what you make it. I'm an assistant coach, so that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I focus on our offensive stuff with coach every single day before games. My job is to try to make our team better. And there are certain things and ways I go about it personally. They're individual guys that I work with, on the floor, off the floor, being a coach is a full-time job. And it's just a matter of how you can connect. How can I connect with these guys and make them better and make them, more intelligent on the court and have fun doing it? I mean, I think that's the purpose. Like my mom is a PE teacher. I'm doing the same. I'm just trying to make them as strong and as wise and play the game with a ton of fun. Like that's the purpose.
So you just mentioned the fact that being a coach is a full-time job, and you bring your work home with you, whether it's watching film or calling guys to help break down their film, whatever the case is. And it's a balancing act for sure, to be your best self as a coach and your best self as a player. And I was reading a recent article, and you were quoted as saying, in reference to balancing the two, when you're passionate about something, you make it work. and that you're all about finding solutions. How do you give each craft, coaching and playing, the focus it deserves so that you can be the best in both areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it right there. It's giving it the focus it deserves. I think that's the key word. You know, with the Wizards guys, you know, they deserve my best, you know, for myself and getting myself ready to play and be strong for the season. Like, I deserve my best. And then in the midst of that, you know, what am I learning in both situations? You know, one can help the other. They're not independent from one another. And I think that's the biggest thing, that that's how I'm able to learn on the fly, and that's how I'm able to grow at more of a rapid speed, is because, you know, what I'm doing as a player and what I'm doing as a coach, they're not individual. They are very much intertwined, and one will help the other. You know, I plan, you know, I'm organized, I'm structured. You know, I have a calendar that I follow, especially now, like with COVID that's going on. You know, there's so many Zoom meetings and workouts that we have to do and book clubs that we have. And like, I'm more busy now than I was during the season. Like, it's kind of crazy, like, how it's like, oh, now we have this time. Now, like, we really ramp stuff up. But yeah, at the end of the day, like I've always said, you know, when you're passionate about something, you want to give it your best. You know, you deserve to give it your best. And it really just comes down to, how can I make these two things collaborate with one another? And how can I be super organized in my path and the purpose of what I'm trying to get done? It can be challenging at times, but, you know, I'm enjoying it immensely.
I'm sure there's a long list of things. And you said they go hand in hand. It's not one thing and then the other, coaching and playing. There's a lot of symmetry and a lot of connectivity between the two. What's something you've learned as a coach that's helped you as a player in the last year and a half?
I think really the value of communication. You know, that's never been my strongest suit as a person in general. But I think, you know, over communicating is something that I'm really, really taking away, and just different ways to communicate. You know, I think having the vantage point that I have now as a coach and understanding all the work that goes into, you know, a scouting report or, you know, breaking down a film session. You know, I think those are the type of things that have helped me as a player immensely, because, and I've just, and gained like a different level of respect for the, you know, my coaches that I have as a player, because there's so much work that goes into it. There's so much detail. And I think because of all that detail and all the film that I've watched and studied, you know, as a coach, now as a player, you know, I thought I did. I thought I knew stuff inside and out and put a lot of time and thought into it. But it's just like jacked it up, you know, times 20 now. Like, just being overly prepared. Just the preparation aspect that coaches have. Now as a player, I feel like no matter what, I will be, you know, I'm the most prepared person on the floor. And that's, again, is what's going to add years to my career, because, you know, we're not getting any younger.
I'm kind of surprised to hear you say that that communication has not always been a strong suit for you, just because of some of the articles I've read where, for example, last year you were dealing with injury, you missed 10 or 11 games, and as a player on the bench, you almost became a volunteer coach, you know, texting players after games, mm-hmm. helping them with X and O's after practice, watching their film and things like that. Do you feel like your time in the NBA has sort of helped you become that coach on the floor more so than before?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as soon as I got to DC, I mean, I chose to go there for literally personal growth and to stretch myself. Yeah. And one of the ways to do that was I knew I had to communicate in order to step into that leadership role, you know, that I was starving for. You know, I knew I was going to have to step outside my comfort zone. And so, like, you know, in the 3 years just being in DC with the Mystics, you know, I learned so much about myself and proved to myself that I was capable. You know, it's like inside, I was like, I know I'm this leader. Like, I know I have this value. I know I have things to say. I just wasn't comfortable in that position. You know, now those 3 years have passed, and having 2 years served on the NBA side, you know, that just helped me with just the skill to communicate, and how to communicate and what it looks like for different people. You know, it doesn't look the same for everyone. So yeah, so I've grown a whole lot just in 3 years. I mean, I'm even going back to like thinking about, you know, my first couple of years in the league. You know, it's night and day from where I was to where I'm at, just in a communication standpoint and a leadership standpoint. So DC was amazing for me in that way, in that regard, and certainly, you know, now coaching as well. You know, I've just gotten way more comfortable using my voice and sharing my knowledge, because to me, you know, I've always had a pretty high basketball IQ. It was difficult for me to share it with others in a effective way. And so I'm pretty happy with the growth that I've had in that way, and I definitely attribute that to my time in DC.
For you, when you think about what it means to be a good leader, what does that look like? What does it take to be a good leader, to be an effective leader?
I mean, it takes a lot of listening. You know, you have to know who your audience is. You know, for me, it takes reps. It takes a willingness to step outside comfort zone. And I think for me personally, when I finally allowed myself to do that, you know, the rest was history. You know, I knew, it's like knowing all the answers to a test, but the test is in Chinese. that's how it was for me.
I would fail that test miserably.
Yeah, it's just like, but you know, I learned to speak Chinese, basically, is what I'm saying in this analogy. You just figured it out, and it depends on who you're with and your comfortability, but it's also just really challenging yourself every day and staying committed and staying consistent to what you're trying to do. And I really took a practice of hanging with it, you know, even when I wasn't comfortable all the time. And it could be the silliest thing, from like, we're in the circle, you know, at the end of practice, and coach asked, does anybody have anything to say? You know, it's like sometimes, yeah, I had something to say, but I just wasn't comfortable. Like now, that's like, to even just think about that is like, it's funny to me, because now there's, I mean, you can ask me anything. I'll throw my opinion out there. I'll have something to say, even with stuff, you know, nobody asked. So it's pretty night and day.
So you bring up this interesting point of sort of seeking opportunities to get out of your comfort zone. And I want to take that and rewind a little bit back to when you first started as an assistant coach for the Wizards, because you were playing at the time and coaching under the same corporate umbrella. So you were subject to the rules about off-season pay for players working in the organization, yada, yada. So you took a pretty big pay cut to coach in the NBA rather than maybe going and playing overseas like so many WNBA players have done in the past. Why did you do that? What went into that decision?
You know, I did it because I could see big picture. And I've always, you know, prided myself in using, you know, being intuitive. And I just had a feeling. And I knew that what I was getting paid and what I was being offered to get paid, you know, that wasn't, one, it wasn't right, but it also isn't normal. And I get that when you're the first in something, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be things that it's just not fair. It just wasn't fair. There's going to be things that aren't fair. But with that newness, I also knew that there would be an opportunity to make big change. And this was obviously something that needed to be changed. But I think initially, you know, with being offered that position and what it paid, I didn't mind too much, because I knew that it wasn't going to last forever. I knew that, you know, I've never been a person that's been motivated by money and a price. You know, it's about, to me, it's always about what I'm passionate about and what's going to fuel me and what's going to make me happy on a day-to-day basis. And so I felt like this was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up, you know, to be coaching and working with, you know, the best players in the world and watching the best players in the world, you know, up front and center every single night. You know, to me, you don't turn those type of opportunities down. And the other stuff, the money and all that, that'll take care of itself as time goes by. And I, you know, eventually, you know, with the help, you know, of Ted Leonsis and Monumental, you know, they weren't fans of it either. You know, it wasn't their choice to be put in that position to only, you know, be able to pay me the $10,000. You know, we made the change, and I think it's great. I think it, you know, it was time, you know, that rule that was put in place a long time ago, and nobody thought that this would even be a thing. looking back, you know, I'm more so just proud to be a part of the solution and the growth of our sport and where we're at now. And I'm just glad, you know, I'm glad because some people would, I mean, a lot of people thought I was crazy. You know, I'll just go overseas and make, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, why would you do that? And for me, it was just always big picture. And it's always, you know, just doing something that intrigues you, that excites you. And this was, you know, one of those situations.
Mm. I love that. I love what you said a little bit ago about, you know, not desiring the money, but desiring to connect to your greater purpose, to your greater passion, to the big picture. I want to ask you sort of about the dichotomy of your situation. On the one hand, you've spent the last 20 years or more playing basketball, failing, learning, succeeding, building, and growing, and you've reached what many would consider the pinnacle of your career. Maybe you wouldn't look at it that way, but us media folk, we look at you and we say, you know, two-time WNBA champion, multiple all-star nods. So you're a star in the WNBA. But at the same time, you're in the infancy stages of your coaching career. You're in year two with the Wizards, and you're continuing to grow, and you're continuing to earn your keep, so to speak, and earn your respect. How would you describe that experience? Because it's kind of, it is dichotomous in a way, even though you said earlier that the difference between coaching and playing, you don't really see it as two separate entities, but as one. But what has that experience been like for you, kind of being the, you know, the superstar in the WNBA and the one that all the players look to being sort of a rising star, if you will, in the NBA as a coach?
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and it's helped me, you know, it's helped me as a coach in the NBA because of who I am as a player in the WNBA. So that's how I mean, they're so intertwined. You know, I have the respect of these guys because they've watched me in the finals. They've seen me in the All-Star games. They know I know how to play the game, and they know that I can help them better themselves. So that's where, for me, in this situation, like, it's just been such a benefit for me because, yeah, are they intertwined? Yes. Is it difficult sometimes? Yes, because it's like, I don't want to lose any focus. I want to be the best player I can be. You know, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I want to kick everyone's butt every summer. I want to win championship after championship. But now I have an opportunity to, like, go back. And, like, this is, like, something brand new for me. So for me, it's really fun because it's okay to fail. Like, it's okay to not know. Allowing myself to be vulnerable and letting myself be free and have fun in this process because I am so new at it. And I really have no expectation as a coach. Like, nobody – they know Christy Tolliver, the basketball player. They don't know Christy Tolliver, the coach. And so for me, I've really enjoyed that because it's like a fresh start of an identity. And I have my basketball identity as a player. I think, you know, you media folks, you guys can, you know, lay out a couple of things. And like, yeah, that's KT. But as a coach, like, this is really fun because I get to transform. I get to, like, be a completely – I'm coach now. It's not Christy. It's coach. So, like, I'm really enjoying that process of, like, it's okay to not know. Like, as a player, I'm expected to know. I'm expected to be great every night because I've had that experience and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Like, as a coach right now, it's like, yeah, I'm up and coming and I'm learning along the way and I'm trying to absorb everything I can. It's like going back to being a rookie as a player again. It's like, well, nobody thinks you're going to be hot stuff until you prove it. So for me, like, it's been awesome, and I wouldn't choose one over the other right now because I'm in the best position there is when I get to do both and have fun and enjoy. And yeah, that's I love that question because that just got me, like, fired up because it really, like, allows me to think about just personally, like, yeah, there's, you know, KT the basketball player and there's KT the coach, and it's like I don't have to be the same in that. It's almost like I get to have two different identities, and it's really fun to step into an arena where I don't have to, you know, have all that weight of I need to go out and outperform. You know, I get to be more behind the scenes. I get to instill knowledge, confidence into our players and watch them be the best that they can be. So I enjoy both. I love being the one in between the lines and competing, and I love being behind the scenes and watching these guys grow because of all the work that you've done day in and day out.
Was it weird for you going from Chrissy Tolliver, the player, to now all of a sudden being called coach? Like, was that weird for you when you first started getting called coach in the NBA?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's like from day one, it was like I was coach. And then that took some time to get used to. But now it's like, you know, you have all these different relationships with all these different coaches. And now it's like you're walking down the hall and you hear a player and they say, coach. And we all like turn. It's like we're all coach. Like there's like little things like that. It's been funny. It's been tricky. But to a lot of the guys, you know, I'm KT and I enjoy that. It's only with the, you know, management guys or the other coaches that is coach. For some reason, I've noticed coaches love to be called coach. I don't really get that. I prefer KT, but again, I'm still learning all the ins and outs.
Yeah, maybe little when you're in year 10 or 12 of being coach, you'll kind of fall into that and you'll like being called coach.
Hopefully by that time, I would like to be on like Popovich level and you just call him Pop.
There you go.
That's what you want. You don't want to be called coach. You want to have a name that they, you know, fill, you know?
Yes, I'm with you on that. So you said something a moment ago about kind of having the freedom to fail and having that space to really grow and stretch yourself without a ton of expectations, which leads me to a question that I try to ask everybody who comes on the podcast. What's a failure that you can look back on throughout the course of your career, either as a coach or a player, that has propelled you forward?
Oof. I mean, I'll just give, you know, a most recent one, you know, and that would be losing to Seattle in the 2018 finals, you know, just to be that close and to come up short. And, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow. And like I said before, you know, I don't really believe necessarily in failing because you win or you learn, excuse me. So in that situation, it was, okay, we came together as a group. What have we learned? Where do we need to get better? And just having a single focus on the next season. And so for us to, you know, we were quoted on, you know, run it back. That was our motto. And so just to feel so low in 2018 to feeling, you know, to giving a franchise its first championship and to come back with a vengeance, you know, as a team, as a unit, you know, with one mission in mind. It was really, really special. You know, when you win a championship and you have that taste, you just want it again and again and again. And, you know, for me, you know, the past 3 out of 4 years, like I've been in the final. So it's like, I know, like, that's where I want to be every year. And I think, you know, in 2016, winning in LA, you know, I hadn't been to a final before and we won. So I hadn't had the feeling of getting to a championship and losing. And so, you know, I don't want to feel that again. So even this year, it's like I'm locked into, you know, I want to be back in the finals. You know, I want that taste again, because I definitely don't want to be there and come out on the other end because I know what that feels like. But I guess the example would be the 2018 years. If you want to call it a failure, it's a failure. I think it's still pretty sweet to be in the finals. That's where a lot of people, you know, in our league would want to be. But I think just having that experience of losing in the finals, that being my first, that was definitely a motivator for not just myself, but obviously for our entire team. And everybody took that really, really personally and came back so focused and so ready.
I think I saw you guys play in person once, and then I saw you play on TV a second time when I was calling the games for the Sky. And I could just tell, like, there was just this aura about the Mystics last year. You guys were just so connected, the way the ball moved around, the way that you played together defensively. It was definitely, you could tell, you could sense a togetherness on the goal to get back to the finals and to take care of business last year. One thing I read also coming into this show was a quote you said that really intrigued me. You said, the greatest coaches are developed by great players. And I'm just curious, how so? How have you been developed as a coach by guys like John Wall or Brad Beal or anybody else on the Wizards for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I love that too. You know, I think it just really, it goes back to like the, you know, what the player coach relationship is and understanding like it's not one-sided. You know, it's not the coach telling the player, you know, you got to do X, Y, and Z, and then the player responding. You know, it's a relationship. It goes both ways. And challenging one another and learning from one another. You know, I think talent inspires. And, you know, one way that John and Brad both and a number of guys, I mean, all our guys are great, you know, with the Wizards. There's not a bad egg. So I learn a ton from those guys every single day. And that's kind of what I mean. The way that I feel like I, you know, I can share my knowledge with them, I learn lessons from those guys every single day. And I think one of the main things for me is like they challenge me to think differently. And I don't know if that is a male female thing. I don't know if that is just different overall experiences, whether that's being, you know, an NBA professional athlete versus a female WNBA athlete. You know, we live in different worlds, but I think that's where we help each other the best. Because I can bring them to a certain level, they can bring me to a certain level, and we can meet in the middle. And so that's really, really been fun and enjoyable for me because, you know, their outlook on things in the game, outside of the game, could be completely different than how I view it, but nobody's wrong. So, like, just kind of those little things, like, it's just really, really fun and interesting every single day. We got a group, we have a meeting tonight that's been really, really awesome. So I'm getting sidetracked, but like just having like these interactions now, especially during COVID, like we've had a lot of these small group work and we get to hear one another talk and, you know, share certain vantage points. You know, the way that I look at the game is a different way that Ish Smith or John Wall looks at the game. So it's just like, how can we make each other better? And I think that's what the whole thing is really about. I think if you look at the greatest coaches, you know, you think of Phil Jackson, you know, Mike Tebow, you know, in our game,
yep.
You know, he's the winningest coach. He's now won his championship. You know, what are two similarities between that? Still had MJ and Kobe. Is that a coincidence? I don't really think so. You know, Coach T, you know, he's got a handful, but you know, he's got Deli, you know, she's one of the greatest in our game. Still rising and still, you know, we'll get a lot better. And I expect even more great things from her. You know, it's not a coincidence that great coaches have great talent around them because it allows them to be creative, to really use their craft to the best of their ability.
I have one final question for you, but since you brought up Phil Jackson, I'm sure, I don't want to assume, but I'm sure you've been watching the 10-part series that just ended, The Last Dance. And I,
of course,
am not old enough to remember MJ in his prime. I remember him playing for the Wizards. But what did you think about the documentary if you watched it?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was like Christmas every Sunday. because for me, you know, growing up, it was Mike. And obviously, you know, with my dad reffing in the NBA, I was very close to the NBA and I went to a lot of games. I actually met Michael's father at the All-Star game, literally the All-Star game before he had, you know, tragically lost his life. And so there were just certain aspects of what was going on. It's like, I can go back and think of it, you know, when I was 8, and, you know, the perspective then versus now is just really, really cool. And I thought they did a great job just, you know, telling that story, telling Michael's story and, you know, on his terms and how he wanted it to be, you know, voiced. You know, there are just so many elements and so many layers and, you know, I learned a lot and just to hear the details and the behind the scenes stuff and just getting back, for me, it was just like getting back to like 90s basketball. Like I miss that so much. Like I'm so glad that I was old enough to like experience it and like remember it. Because, I mean, that was, to me, like, the best basketball ever. But I also think...
It looks like a really entertaining brand of basketball.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, just the physicality and the no-nonsense. I mean, that's what I miss. You know, it's like... I know we're not having a Last Dance conversation because this could last forever. But, like, you know, back then in the 90s, like those guys, like there was no social media, there was none of this or that and the third. It was like you were a basketball player, and that's what I miss. And honestly, that's kind of what how I feel about the W in a way. It's like, yeah, we're like we're expanding our platforms and this and that now, but like especially earlier on, like when I first came out and before, is like you're a basketball player, and it was very simple. And you know, there was no, it wasn't about, you know, what clothes you had on or this shoe deal or money, this, that, and the third. It was like being the best at your craft. And just the simplicity in that, I think, is very, very special. But I will say, I hope, because all of these guys are watching, it's, you know, however many million people every Sunday were watching all of them. And I know the impact that it's having on these NBA guys that are watching. And I hope that they will bring that purity back, because I feel like it's gotten a little lost in the NBA with, you know, other things. But I hope that they will kind of come back, revive, refocused, and like back to the purity of the game, and just, you know, forget the other stuff, at least while you're on the floor.
I would love to see some of those heated rivalries get rebirthed in this new NBA. It just seems like, and maybe I'm wrong here, you would know better than me because you're actually in the NBA, but it just seems like from the documentary and what it sort of depicted, those rivalries were just so hotly contested. And I don't feel that as an NBA fan as much as I felt it in that documentary.
A couple things have changed. One, the game, you can't touch people. So that, yeah, as far as the physicality aspect, that's not happening. But I will say, like, I think, you know, having AAU influence and high school basketball, like these guys are friends. So it's right, also more difficult, I feel like, for them, because like they generally, like they're great friends. Like, you know, it's not just like, oh yeah, we see each other here and there. Like they grew up in youth basketball together. So I think that's where it makes it a little more difficult as far as having like legit heated rivalries. But there, you know, there's always an egg, like a Draymond or, you know, somebody that'll stir the pot a little bit just with anybody. So those guys will keep it interesting.
All right, last question. Let's say there's a young woman out there who's in college or maybe in the WNBA, or maybe there's a little girl out there who's, you know, 9, 10 years old, who's watching Kristi Toliver and says, I want to do what she's doing, be a WNBA champion and coach in the NBA. What advice would you give to somebody who sees you and says, that's the path I want to take?
First, there's no one formula. There's no one way to get where I'm at. And so be open about that. And, you know, you don't have to follow in my footsteps, you know, exactly, you know, follow your own path. But I would say, you know, commit to your passion. You know, the work that you put in, the focus, you know, the sacrifices, you know, those things are all have to come into play. Trust the process. You know, don't get discouraged or distracted if things aren't going your way, or if, you know, there's a bump in the road. Just trust and understand, you know, if this is what you're passionate about, you know, it's possible. This one's huge. Like for me, have balance. You know, when I was a kid, like I played every sport. I played soccer, I played golf, you know, I ran track, I played baseball, football, like you name it, I played it and I had fun. You know, I played with my friends, you know, in the yard, you know, we made up games. It wasn't just basketball. I think, you know, having balance and being well-rounded is really, really important, especially in your early development. And then your environment is critical. You know, surround yourself with people who will be your best teachers, you know, who will give you support, who will be honest with you, you know, who will help you be the best you can be. And that's really the main focus is, you know, do your best, you know, be kind, be compassionate, be competitive, just continue to follow your path and your truth. And I think so long as you're doing that, things will work out no matter what it is you're trying to pursue.
That's great advice. Kristi Toliver, I have really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the Coming Up podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.